You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Well, we are wrapping up this Duped series today, which is the series about the book of James. I still feel really loud to me. Okay, I'm sorry. I got it. Okay, get off my back. and all the other problems that were back there, totally, I was distracting John. Anyway, we're finishing up the series called Dupes about James, the book of James. And I was joking with David earlier, like, some of you are going to hear, like, this background, the intro music to this series in, like, 5 years and, like, curl up in a ball because it's going to bring back all this dramatic memories of what happened. Like, we started this series and we were all trapped in our homes. So it's kind of good to say goodbye to James. We love you. Thanks for what we learned, and let's move on to the judges next week. But this series is all about this idea of what we've called dupes, the idea of being a poser, a fake, someone that lives like they're calling themselves followers of Jesus, but don't actually live it, essentially being a dupe. And so we're going to wrap that up today looking at James chapter 5. But I want to talk about the bamboo tree. Is it a tree? Is that what it's called? Is it a plant? Grass, the bamboo grass. All right, whatever. It's really, really big grass. And actually, just this week, I learned something about bamboo. And maybe you've heard this story because apparently it's like a well-known story, but I didn't know this. But bamboo, the bamboo nut, the seed of a bamboo grass, is incredibly hard. And so if you were to take a bamboo seed and place it into the ground, and begin to water it and do, you know, whatever it is you do to bamboo. And you wait, you know, a couple of weeks, a couple of months. After about 12 months, almost your first year after planting that, you will look where you plant it and see nothing. And so you're like, okay, it's been a year, we'll keep watering. You wait a few more months. And now you're at the end of year two. And now what you're going to start to see is nothing. And so you're like, okay, it's been 2 years, I'm still watering this thing, it's still there, right? Yeah, I guess it is. And you do your thing, and okay, now you're about 2.5 years in, and finally, nothing. So then you get to the end of the third year, nothing. You keep watering, you keep caring for your bamboo seed thing there. And year four, nothing. But somewhere between years four and five, a little sprout comes up out of the ground. And as soon as that sprout comes up out of the ground, I don't want to mess this up, it will grow at 3 feet per day. Bamboo has been tracked. There's a certain kind that has been tracked at growing 1 inch every 40 minutes. That's a half inch every 20 minutes. Watch this math here. Just check my math, Kurt. So that's, no, I forgot already. So what did I say? 2 inches, 1 inch every 40 minutes. So a half inch every 20 minutes, a quarter of an inch every 10 minutes, an eighth of an inch every 5 minutes. Am I still good? So like literally you could watch this plant grow and it grows that quickly. And of course, I don't know if any of you have planted bamboo or, you know, tried to say, hey, this will look neat in this one little spot by my house. Bamboo takes over everything. And it grows at such a rapid pace that you have to be violent if you want to stop it from growing. But that's bamboo. And so it's this thing that it takes 4 years before it actually starts to do something. But then when it does, it goes crazy. It's incredible. It's amazing what happens. And I want to talk about that in our own lives today as we look at this last chapter of James. Because James talks about this idea of patience in our own lives. And this idea of just waiting. And waiting isn't fun. I hate waiting. Nobody likes waiting. I mean, like, if you were to list like some of the most horrendous places to spend time, one of them would probably start with the word waiting, a waiting room. Nobody likes to wait. And James is going to tell us that it's important for us to wait. Because if we wait, at the right moment, something amazing is going to happen. And so the point today is this. Can you back me down a little bit more? I still feel like I'm boomy and echoey. The point is that dupes quit when they don't see results. You know, if we call ourselves followers of Jesus, and we say, no, I didn't see results, that's it, I'm done, I'm out, I quit, I'm done, sorry God, nope. A dupe quits when they don't see results. But real faith trusts God's timing. And of course, the hard part about that, you know, as we talked about last week, faith would be so much easier if it didn't require so much faith. Is that we have to trust God's timing. And of course, we can't see that. And putting a bamboo seed in the ground, you just have to trust that it's doing what it's doing. Because of course, if you were to dig it up, you kind of killed the process. And so real faith trusts God's timing. And, you know, we've talked about how this book of James is so, like, it's in your face and very, very relevant. You know, we've talked about things such as racism as we've looked at this series. We've talked about dealing with hard times in this series. We've talked about just a bunch of different issues that are very relevant to us culturally. And I think this is also relevant to us to say, okay, God, what are you up to? Because as I look at the ground, I see nothing. And I want to quit. As I look at the ground, it's not the way it's supposed to look in my mind. It's just nothing. And I want to give up. But James says, just trust God's timing. And I'm going to go through what James says, and then we'll have some, maybe it's just some encouragement of why God tells us to do this through James, and how we can actually, you know, live with a little bit of hope in this. So the first thing that we see here in James chapter 5, and we're starting in verse 7, is the reason for patience. James gives us, first of all, a reason that we can be patient. And the reason is that God is in control. And that's the thing. I mean, certainly, like, we want to be in control. We want to fix things. We want to make it happen. If I'm going to plant bamboo and I want it to grow, I want to decide how it's going to grow. I put some weed killer on my lawn 2 weeks ago. And I want it to be dead instantly. And so I put a lot of it on. And a lot of my lawn is dead. But just not the weeds. Because I want it now, and I don't want to have patience. And I found the spots where I did it according to the instructions, the things are actually starting to die. The weeds are starting to die. But we want it now, and so James says, look, just trust that God is in control. And this is what he says in verses 7 through 9. He says, dear brothers and sisters, be patient. And this word patient, it means another way to translate it maybe in some of your Bible versions is persevere. It means to keep going. It literally means to suffer long. And this word patience, this word perseverance, it is suffering is built into this idea. Suffering is built into doing something that takes a while. And we just kind of have to come to grips with that a little bit to say, okay, if I'm going to be patient, it's going to require a little bit of pain. It's going to require a little bit of hurt. Because we know, as he says, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Sometime this fall, we're going to do a series called The End. And we're going to spend a few weeks looking at what is the whole end time stuff and spending a few weeks talking about all of that. But James says, look, just be patient because God has a timeline. God has a timetable. And on it are all the pieces that he has put in place. And he says, just be patient because God is in control. Be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. James wrote this about 2,000 years ago, expecting that Jesus would return any moment. And we have to live with that same expectancy that, you know, it could be any moment. And James says, just be patient. He says, consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. And wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. He says, take courage because for the coming of the Lord is near. And this word, take courage, it literally means strengthen your heart. It doesn't mean suck it up and deal. It means just strengthen your heart and trust that God's got this. God's got this. Take courage. Then he says, don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door, and we'll come back to that one in a second. So the first thing is the reason for patience. We can have patience because God is in control. He says, be patient, persevere, stick it out, because God's got this, all of it. Then he gives us the reminders of patience. He gives us some reasons. He's like, now listen, don't forget. There's people that you look at and you respect and love and call them heroes of the Bible, maybe heroes of the faith in your own life. And he said there's a reason. He says because patience leads to blessing. And of course, the word blessing, the idea of blessing, doesn't mean we have lots of money and we're always healthy and happy. But it means that God is at work in our lives. And this is what he says in verses 10 to 12. He goes on and says, for examples of patience and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, he says, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. You remember them? Like, we read about the prophets and we're like, yeah, wow, look at what Elijah did. Look what Elijah did. Look at what Isaiah did and Jeremiah. And like, read Jeremiah's life. It was kind of miserable. Look at Hosea. His life was complicated. He married a prostitute and she ran away. Like, we did a whole series on that. You can find that at mc3church.org. Click on Listen to the Point. Look for Hosea. It's complicated. But like, we go, wow, what an example. And the reason they were an example is because of their patience. And that's what he says. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, another example. You know about Job. A man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. But most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just say a simple yes or no so that you will not sin and be condemned. So James says, look, we look at people. We call them heroes of the faith. And most of the time, it's not because their life was all easy and perfect. It was because they were the underdog. It's because they were the ones that suffered through it. Like Joseph, the story of Joseph, the son of Jacob, the husband of Mary is a pretty cool story too. But we look at it like, wow, what a great story. It's because of what they went through. We're going to hear these next 2 months, we're going to be looking at Judges. And you're going to see some more stories of like, wow, what an incredible story. And most of the time, it's because it's rooted in some hardships, in some difficulties, in some challenges. And St. James says, don't forget, there's a reason why we look up to those people, because they suffered and endured. They were patient and persevered through the hard times. So it's okay for us to do that as well, because it leads to honor, it leads to blessing. Then the third thing we see here is the resource in patience. And this is the cool thing. Like, God doesn't just say, okay, be patient. Good luck with that. But he actually gives us a resource in the midst of our difficulty. And that's prayer. We can pray. We can actually go to God and say, God, I need help. This is hard. And God will respond and say, okay, let me help you through this. Let me encourage you through this. And we'll come back to some of these ideas. But here's what James, in verse 13, James writes this. He says, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. And the word here for pray doesn't mean, you know, you kneel down and you fold your hands and you say, dear Jesus. Like, it means that. But the word actually means all sorts of forms of prayer. Sometimes that can be thanksgiving. Sometimes that can be just adoration, worship. Sometimes it can be asking God for things, a request type thing. I mean, everything that we consider in that category of prayer, that's what James is saying here. If you're suffering, pray. He says, are you happy? Well, then there's a way to respond to that. You sing praises, a prayer. Are you sick? Any of you sick? He says, you should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. And the interesting thing here is the word sick, it doesn't actually mean just illness. It doesn't mean campylobacter and stool samples in your fridge. And if you weren't here 2 weeks ago, you don't know what that's about. But it doesn't mean just physically sick. The word actually means to be weak. And so he's saying here, and again, context, if you're going through a hard time, are you weak? Are you feeling weak through this challenge? Then pray. Ask God for strength. And he says, call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. And I don't have time to get into this, but the oil here is more like a medicine. If you're actually sick, then take medicine. If you remember the story of the Good Samaritan that we looked at a year ago this week, they anointed him. The Samaritan anointed him with oil, which was medicine. But then I asked the elders to pray. And I just want you to know that even this week, there was some need. I sent an email to the elders. Guys, here's some things we need to be praying about our body. Because you know, that's what spiritual leaders should do. But he says to pray. He says, such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. And again, the word here is it will heal the weary, the exhausted, the fatigued. And the Lord will make you well, will make you whole. So again, we can understand that in the context of sickness, it does mean that in a physical way, but the word is much broader. If you're feeling worn out, if you're exhausted, if the thing that you're going through is so difficult, you're ready to give up, he says, pray. Because God will heal you. God will make you whole. He will fix the worn outness. He will give you the strength that you need. And if you haven't committed any sins, you will be forgiven. We don't have time to get into that. He goes on and says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah, who was a prophet that we respect, was a human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. James says, remember Elijah? He prayed. It was a difficult time and God was there. God was with him through it. And so for us, when we're going through a hard time, God doesn't just say, deal. He says, I'm here to help you through this. Ask me for the strength you need. Are you weak? Are you tired? Are you burned out? Are you exhausted? Are you just done? James says, we can go to God and he will make us whole. He will give us what we need. It doesn't say he will make everything the way we want it, but he will give us what we need to make us whole. So then we've got the reason for patience, the reminders of patience, the resource in patience, and finally, the response during patience. And if you've read James, and again, like James is so practical, I remember memorizing bits and pieces of it all through my, you know, my early church youth group years and even in Bible college, because there's so much practical stuff in here. But there's this end of James. It's kind of like, what in the world does this have to do with anything else that he's been talking about? And he says here that the response during patience, that when we're going through these hard times, sorry, you're with me, gotcha. He says, we need each other. That's why this comes up. Because when we're going through hard times, you know what happens? When you get stressed, when you get worn out, you start to bite and attack the people closest to you. Now, that never happens to me in my home. And my kids and family will attest that, oh, you know, whenever things are rough for dad at work or had a hard conversation or anything, he comes home and everything's wonderful. He never yells at us about every stinking little thing that we didn't do that day. Actually, that's not true. I mean, like, there's this tension, and I'm like, oh, well, you. And it has nothing to do with them. We take it out on those closest to us. And even in a hard time like this as a culture, it's easy to start jabbing at each other. And James says, whoa, back up. This is hard. And in these hard times, we need each other. Our response should be for each other in this difficulty. And now, this is what he says here. That almost seems like a tag along at the end. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. James is like, what does this have to do with anything? He says, look, in these hard times, it's going to be easy for us to start picking. When you're going through a difficult time, and it's pretty easy for us to kind of wander away. He says, look, don't lose the body. Don't lose the body of Christ. Don't lose your brothers and sisters. If someone's wandering away, bring them back. Don't be like, I don't care. I'm going through a hard time. Deal with it. No, he says, don't lose that. And I already said a couple of times, we'll skip those and come back to it. But we've already read in, I lost my spot here. We already read in James 5:9, he says, don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you'll be judged. And then in 5:16, he says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. So like throughout what we've just read, James keeps going, you're going to need these people. Pray for each other. Confess to one another. Bring them back if they have an issue. Don't grumble against other people. He says, in hard times, we need each other. We need to be the body of Christ together. And so that's the response during these hard times. So in all this, James says, look, it's going to be rough. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult and challenging to get through these moments. But understand, God is in control. God has this whole thing. And whatever the whole thing, whether right now for you it's coronavirus or whether for you it's something way more personal, way more intimate, something, a deep struggle that maybe nobody knows about, maybe a family issue, maybe sickness, maybe death. He says, God's in control. And then he says, just remember the people that we look up to. The reason we look up to them is because of their perseverance, because they waited for God, waited on Him. And that if you're in a hard spot, you can pray, God, give me the strength. And we'll come to that in a moment again. And the response during this is to just, we need each other. Be there for your brothers and sisters. And it's so easy. And again, you guys probably all know this. If whatever something bad happens, you take it out on the people closest to you. And it's easy for us to do this as a church. And God, James says, we need each other. We need to be there for each other. Because it's all about this patience. Because we're trusting that God's timing is right. And those 4 years in the ground might seem like nothing's happening. But when it happens, God says, I've got something big. I'm going to do something. I've seen you move. You've moved the mountains. God can do incredible things. And so James says, just patiently endure. Wait, because God's got this. Because dupes, they quit when they don't see results. Well, I don't see what I want. Okay, God, I'm done. But real faith, and listen to what I'm saying here. Real faith trusts God's timing. Real faith doesn't say, this is awful and it's so great. Like, it's okay to mourn. It's okay to have a broken heart. Like, the Bible's full of that. Read the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. But real faith trusts God's timing. So I want to talk about just some wisdom for this, some encouragement in these four things that we were just looking at, in this idea of the reason, the reminders, the resource, and the response. Some wisdom while we wait. So James says we need to persevere. We need to trust God's timing. God's got this, and we've got each other. But I want to be a little bit more specific. And the first thing is that the reason we can trust that God is in control goes even beyond just like, okay, God's in control. God's not just in control. Jesus is with us. In Matthew chapter 28, you guys probably know this as the Great Commission. And this is what Jesus says to his followers, to us. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey everything I have commanded, I have given you. And be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And this to the end of the age, the same thing James was talking about. Because Jesus is going to return. Because God's got a plan, there's a timeline. And Jesus says, I am with you always, through the entire timeline, from the beginning to the middle to the end. And so we can trust that God is in control, not just that we're on our own, but that Jesus is with us. That we are not alone. We can endure because He's with us. The second thing here is the reminders. You know, James says, look at the different followers of Jesus. Look at the different people throughout the Bible that we consider, you know, great examples. He says, just as a reminder to us, we're not far. We're not far from what God has. You know, we might be out there and it's like year four. And we're like, forget it. Dig it up. Get rid of this stupid thing. I'm planting something easy to grow, like weeds. Not weed duh. Weeds, dandelion. Just clarifying. I don't know. It might be easy to grow. I just have never grown that particular thing since it's illegal. But anyway, but remind you, like, we're not far. In Galatians 6:9, Paul says this. He says, so let's not get tired. Let's not get weary. Let's not get worn out. Let's not get exhausted doing what is good. Because at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And just this idea of how close, you know, maybe you are in your situation. You're on like day two of planting that bamboo seed. And you've got a ways ahead of you. It's going to be hard. But you also might be at year four and you're ready to give up. And Paul says, look, don't give up, because at just the right moment, when God is exactly ready, He's going to make it happen. And I was sharing with John Unks a couple weeks ago. And I know everybody's had a hard time. I'm not trying to make light of that. But it's been some very challenging for me as well. And as you know, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I took a week off, took a vacation week to get away. And And it was, I needed it. I had never, ever, ever at MC3 even been close to feeling as done as I was. Ready to walk away and have no problem with that. And I remember talking to John after that week off and just having that time to pray and to reflect. And I said to him, I was like, you know, I feel like I was with the Israelites walking around that wall, and I've been walking around the wall day one, day two, day three, day four. You know, I get to the last day, and I walk around it, and I was like one time shy. And I'm like, that's it, I'm done. This is stupid. And ready to walk away. And just having that time to reflect, having that break, having that time to pray, realizing that, you know what? How horrible would it have been for the Israelites to walk around the wall and then stop right there? And all it would take was one more trip around and the walls would fall. And I shared this in the video when we talked about our changes for COVID. Like, I feel like God is pruning us. He's whittling away the things in us that he wants to get rid of because he's about to grow us. And for you and for me, Paul says, let's not give up, because at just the right time, that seed thing is going to sprout through the ground and it's going to go like gangbusters. It's going to go crazy. It's going to grow 1 inch every 40 minutes or whatever, a lot. Because God is doing stuff and we can't give up. Just wait. Trust God's timing in this. So we're not alone. We are not far. And then this idea of the resource of prayer, and again, I said this earlier, we'll come back to it. We are not hopeless. Like, here's the crazy thing about prayer, especially if you are an outsider to prayer, if you're a prayer skeptic. You know, maybe you're watching and you don't go to church and you're like, oh, I'm not into that prayer thing. What is that? It's all weird. I don't even have a priest to pray to. But from an outsider, prayer seems kind of weird. But here's what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, and you know this verse if you have been around church any length of time. Paul says, do not be anxious. Do not worry about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then this is the reason. So James has already said, we can pray. We can ask God for help. And again, from our human standpoint, a good response would be for God to clean up the situation. Make that person better. Stop that person from bothering me. Make them move away. Make me get this promotion. And can I have a really nice car in my garage when I get home? Like, that's how we see it. But when we go to God in prayer, it's not a matter of getting what we want. It's God saying, I'm going to give you what you need. I'm going to be with you in this. You're going to be suffering. You're not alone. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to be with you. And he says here that when we pray, what is the response to our prayer? It's not getting our stuff. It's and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul says, look, when we have these difficult times, we can go to God and say, God, help me through this. And he will. And people are going to look at you and be like, that doesn't make any sense. Why aren't you upset? Why aren't you angry? Why don't you quit? Why don't you walk away? Why don't you give up? And you can say, because I know this is a hard thing, but I've prayed and I have a peace that doesn't make any sense. And that's okay, because that's a peace from the Holy Spirit. That is a peace from God. And that's something the world can't give. It's something that comes from him. So when we're in a difficult situation, we have this resource that isn't just a matter of like, okay, all right, I can go a little bit longer. But this idea of a peace that transcends all understanding, that surpasses all understanding, that doesn't make sense, that we can endure a hard time. And again, if we're trying for it to make sense, it's not going to. And if we're looking to prayer as this quick cure-all, like to get my problems the way I want them to be, that's not what we're promised. We're promised peace. And God says, I am with you. I'm with you in this. I am with you through this. So that's the third thing, that we are not hopeless. And then finally, and when it comes to this response, the being there for each other, is we are not helpless. That we have each other. We have one another. We have the body of Christ to help us through these difficult situations, to be there, to rejoice with us when we're rejoicing, to mourn with us when we're mourning, to help us when we're struggling, to pick us up when we're down, to kind of caution us when we're a little bit maybe too full of ourselves. We have each other. We're not helpless. And I don't think it's an accident that the writer of Hebrews says this, again, related to Jesus coming back, to the time is coming soon, to when we're waiting for Him. He says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep His promise. We're not going to talk about that right now. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. But what does he say here? But encourage one another. Especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. See, the writer of Hebrews makes the same conclusion, and all guided by the Holy Spirit, all inspired by God, but makes the same conclusion that James makes. The closer we get to this time when Jesus returns, the closer we get into these difficult situations, the more we need each other. So he says, encourage one another, even more now, because this is a difficult time. And so that is how we need to look at this too, to say, you know, not just a matter of, I'm not alone, I've got my brothers and sisters around me. But then for us, not just to be able to receive that from others, but what can we do to encourage others? Kind of us going outside of ourselves. How can I encourage you? What can I do for you? Because this is hard. And whatever this is, and again, if it's a worldwide crisis like we're in, or if it's, again, your personal crisis, we've got each other. We're not alone. We're not helpless. And so in all of that, we're not alone. Jesus is with us. We're not far. Who knows how close we are to whenever that is. And again, it's not our job to be like, well, God, I'll give you 3 weeks. And Jason, next month, is going to talk about Gideon. And I'm sure we'll hear about that idea of testing God. And maybe not. And if he doesn't talk about that, then that's fine too. But he's going to be looking at Gideon, the judge, and that idea of testing God. And that's not the way we're supposed to do it. We don't test God and put him on our timeline, but we trust him. But I just want to say, you might be that close, and you're ready to give up. And Jesus says, don't. And we're not hopeless. We can pray through these moments. We're ready to give up. We're ready to quit. We're ready to not be patient. And when we pray, we have a peace that doesn't make any sense. And we're not helpless. We've got each other. We are able to encourage and build each other up more and more and more as it looks like Jesus is coming back, as we get into these hard times, these difficult situations. So that is our hope in all of this, that we're not alone. And this is the end of James. The end of the book of James, and hopefully just this encouragement that dupes give up. They quit when they don't receive results. And it's so easy for us to do that. And I remember talking to people, it's after 11, I need to end, but, you know, I remember talking to students when I was a youth pastor, and, so what happened to your job? Oh, I quit. Why? They made me work. Like, oh, okay, you know, and how often we're so quick to give up when something's difficult. But real faith says, God, I'm trusting your timing. You've got this, and you're with me. And he knew about it from beginning to end, and we have seen him do things. Never once have we ever walked alone. Never once has he left us on our own. He's faithful, and it's all those things that we need to bring together and say, God, this is hard, but I'm trusting you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we are not alone. Thank you that we can persevere, that we can bear up under difficult situations, difficult circumstances, and trust because you have the whole thing in your hands. And in all these different ways, the fact that we can look at those that have gone before us to see their examples of trust and hope and perseverance, and the fact that we can come to you in prayer as a resource in this time, and that you graciously answer our requests, that you give us what we need and a peace that passes all understanding. And God, thank you for giving us your body, that we're not in this alone, that we're together and we're able to encourage and build each other up. And so I pray in the middle of our difficulty, in the middle of our crisis, whether this is a global thing or whether it's a personal thing, whether it's something with our family or our friends or our job, or those around us, or ourselves, give us the strength, the supernatural strength, to persevere and trust your timing, knowing that you're not going to quit, that you're not going to give up, and that you will always come through right when the time is right. So thank you for that hope that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.